read it, he broke his leg, had surgery, and has not left the building since. So we feel good about that. He's in here every day training, rehabbing, and he's such a great kid, and nobody is more disappointed with a broken leg than him, and he's just itching to get back. We actually have to hold him back because we don't want to progress him too fast. Roy Miller's doing a really good job. He did have shoulder surgery, and he's in here every day rehabbing, and I just saw him today, and he's trying to stay in shape with not being able to lift and do all that stuff, but he's doing really well. And Gino Hayes had a minor knee surgery, and all those guys should be ready to go. Roy may not be ready for the first part of like OTAs and mini camp, but once we get to training camp, all those guys should be ready.
All right, guys, this is Andy from Section 217. This is a very simple question, but it might be deeper than that. Where are you from, both of you?
Duval.
One Everbank Field.
All right, I've got Greg. And Greg would like an update on Matt Scott and how he compares to some of the quarterbacks that you saw in Mobile over the last week.
What was that? Excuse me?
Greg would like an update on Matt Scott, where he's at, and how he compared to the quarterbacks that you just worked with in Mobile.
Well, Matt's very athletic. You know, one of the things that he can do is the ability to run and utilize his feet. You know, we played him, because we had four quarterbacks on the roster, we even had him take some reps at wide receiver because of his athleticism, and did a nice job. You can tell his heart is playing quarterback. So he's really going to compete this offseason. I think the first year coming into it, the decision making that goes along with it, you know, all those key components, that's what he really needs to grow on. But extremely competitive person. So, you know, those are one of the guys that we'll see, you know, how much of season, now that he's completed it, will add to his growth.
All right, guys, this is Kevin. His family is in a section. He's currently not in one, but he'll be in one soon, right? Oh, yeah, he'll be in one by the end of the night. He has a question about the draft. Third pick, is there a certain position of need that you're kind of leaning toward that's early? And there's a second part, but go ahead.
First part. We have about 3 to 4 positions of great need right now, so maybe one of them. And we feel good at the third pick of being able to fill up one of those positions. But we have, I would say, 3 to 4 positions that we feel like we got to come out of this draft with a starter. And we think we can do that for the first, second, and third round, so we feel good about that.
Well done. And the other question is about the lightning package, yes. The lightning package where you had all the rushers? They're kind of developed mid-season, but does that affect something in the draft? Is there somebody that you can look for that type of package? And then you have the Leos and all the stuff, but kind of address the lightning package.
Well, I think that's going to be a big off-season study for us. We all know that we need rushers. We need guys that can affect the quarterback, and so we might have to, we tried to get our best skilled rushers on the field at once, and that's where the lightning package developed. Somehow take the guys we have, similar to what we did with Ace Sanders on offense. You saw him line up in the backfield because we didn't feel like we had a back that had that burst that like a Darren Sproles has. So we moved Ace and put him in the backfield some. Well, that's how the lightning package developed too. We had to try to find creative ways to get rushers on the field. Ideally, you'd like to draft them free agency, however, to get not only just 2 rushers, but if you can get 4 or 5 rushers and then utilize it. And we might have to tweak some things defensively so that, we can speed this process up. You know, maybe we play with 2 linebackers and play with 2 outside linebackers, almost like 2 Leos on the field at the same time. So that's what we're exploring right now.
I have a question for Mike for you, Dave. It speaks to the world that we live in today with technology. You can see so many players. Mike would like to know if you've looked at Brett Smith, who's the quarterback at Wyoming.
Yes.
That answers the question. How about a deeper thought just on how many quarterbacks you're going to look at over the next couple of months leading up to the draft in May?
Well, we'll look at them all. We have looked at them all. And Brett is one that we looked at in depth, too. He's a junior that came out. We weren't 100% aware that he'd be coming out, but we had an inkling late in the season, so we were able to see him. Been really productive in Wyoming, and he's an interesting prospect. But I would say total, I would say we'd probably like between 18 and 22 quarterbacks.
All right, guys, this is Teresa from Section 119. Where are you going? Teresa, where are you going? She's right here. She had a question about Maurice Jones-Drew. Free agency coming up for him. Have there been negotiations? What's the latest on that?
The latest on that is we're all in agreement that he would like to come back to Jacksonville. We would like to have him back. And Mojo knows how we feel about him. It's just, there's a lot of things that go into play, and we'll see how it shakes out. But, we're optimistic that potentially something will get done, but we have to be prepared if something does not get done, too. So we'll see.
Chris, I got a question for you from Steve, who wondered what you think your emotions will be like Sunday watching the defense that you helped build play in the Super Bowl. Will it be father-like pride? Will it be a tinge of envy? What will you feel when you watch them on Sunday?
Well, you know what? First of all, it's a hard question for me to answer, because if you directly answer that, I don't think it portrays my real feelings. I'm extremely, extremely happy to be in Jacksonville. It's an unbelievable place. And I know I was asked during the season, Gus, if you had it all over again, I said, stop right there, I'm going to Jacksonville. It's an incredible place. I love our GM, our owner, and what we stand for. And the whole community is awesome. So with that being said, it is tough, though, because I was part of the guys that coached these guys for 3 years. And for me to ignore that fact, I mean, what would that tell our current players? And that would not be true. So I am pulling for them. I hope they play their best. I hope they've worked hard. They're good people. And I wish nothing but the best for them, unless they're playing us. You know, that is different.
Dave, question from Ray in Section 237 back here about Justin Blackman's situation. What can you tell us? What's the latest? What's the outlook for him moving forward with the Jets?
Yeah, I think Justin's a tricky situation. There's only so much that we can, there's only so much contact we can have with him by league rules, and B, there's only so much we can divulge about the situation because of league rules. My understanding is he's doing better, and he's really trying to work at the issues that are in front of him. The one thing that, Justin is not a bad person. When he was here, he would come in early, he worked hard, his teammates really liked him, his coaches liked him. It's just, he has some things that he needs to sort out in his life and correct, and he recognizes that. And we're pulling for him, and for no other reason than that he can live a healthy and happy life. Our support for him has nothing to do with a football perspective, but it does have to do with a human perspective of caring for our employees and making sure that they get the best care, that when they do leave here eventually, that they can live a productive life, hopefully inside the community of Jacksonville.
One quick follow-up on that for you, Gus. When he was on the field, though you said it's certainly more important off the field, when he was a difference maker, right?
Yeah, he sure was. We all love his talent and his passion for the game and his competitive spirit. And, I really like Justin Blackman. I did. I think we gravitated towards one another. And just so you know, my heart is, I think it's a maybe a little bit collegiate where you feel like you can help him. And I think, that's where our mindset was not to say, okay, messed up once, get out of here, we're moving on. I think that, a guy like that, if he's willing to try to change and willing to try to get better, well, how can I turn my back on if that's what our philosophy is all about? So that part is difficult, but there comes to a point in time, and sometimes it gets out of our hands. But I think Dave said it really well. We support him, we wish nothing but the best for him, and hopefully we get everything straightened out for him.
Got a question for you, Dave, from John, and he wonders if it will be difficult, considering the importance placed on the quarterback position, for you to sit at three and have a quarterback there and not take him.
No, I think it would be more difficult to take the wrong quarterback at three. And you can see how that can set that up. How that can set back the organization. I think for us, it's important for us to make a really good organizational decision. And I believe our vision and our philosophy, when Gus and I came aboard along with Shad, was to continue to build this roster, and where we can build it where we have a really good team. And in the meantime, if a quarterback presents himself, that we draft them that we feel awfully comfortable about. You look around the league and you look at the team like Seattle that's playing, and I believe they're 3 years into it and they've got Russell Wilson and they just took off. but they didn't address the quarterback situation until then. Denver was a team that was had some quarterback issues, I guess, I can say that. Had some quarterback, but they continued to build the team. Then they got Peyton Manning, and then they took off. San Francisco is another great example of they got Colin Kaepernick in the second round, but they built the team first, and then they got Colin, and now they've taken off the last 3 years. So if one presents himself at three that we all feel comfortable with, well, then we'll pull the trigger. If not, we're not going to reach and make a mistake and bypass a difference maker to help build the roster.
It's the first of four of us after an answer tonight, just for the record. This is Al from Section 441. A question about analytics. Tony Khan and his crew do all the analytics work for the Jaguars, but in two different realms. Dave, how have you learned to use that and to your advantage in preparing for the draft and free agency, and Gus certainly on game weeks? How does that help, Dave?
Yeah, well, it's always been a part of my scouting background. And from my time in Indianapolis and especially my time in Atlanta, we may not call it analytics per se, but it's we use a lot of statistical data to help the company make good decisions. And it's no different here, and we're going to wrap it up a little bit to help us guide us towards good decisions, or as we're about to make a decision, maybe raise a red flag to say, we better think about this, let's go back and revisit what we're about to do and see if we really want to move forward. So it's a very productive tool for us.
I think I can use an example of this. Just put yourself in this mindset. Say you're a defensive coordinator and you're calling defenses. The offense comes out and on first and 10, they run the ball and you get a 2-yard tackle for a loss. What are they probably going to do next play? Pass, right? You'd say, well, they're going to pass. Well, that's what analytics does for us. That's a real simple version, but they'll look into every ounce, anything that we can find that gives us an advantage, because offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, they're creatures of habit. They can't help themselves, and they follow a routine no matter what game it is. So if you can crack that code, it just gives you a better chance to get yourself an offense or a defensive call that you prefer. It doesn't guarantee success, but it raises the percentage. And that's what Tony helps us with.
Question for you, Gus, and it comes from John. He wants to know when you developed your positive coaching philosophy. Having spent some time with you this year, I think from who you developed that positive coaching philosophy is probably a better question.
Right. I think it's just been a part of, it's just been me. Fortunately, I've been around some really good coaches that were positive by nature, and I think I gravitated towards them. So, Monty Kiffin, real positive personality. Pete Carroll, real positive personality. I've been around some college guys like that I gravitated towards because that's how my personality was. So I've just been really fortunate to be around guys like that were really successful and said, I don't have to change. I can just be true to myself.
And Dave, a follow-up to that, you talked about your interview process with Gus, how you knew he was the right guy. Were you looking for that positive approach coming into that, or was that something that Gus sold you on?
No, it was something I was looking for. I knew the task at hand that we had here, and I knew that we would struggle early on with some adversity. Not only year one, but year two, that we needed some of that. Wasn't that we started out 0-8. We've seen teams start out 0-8, and then they finish 0-16 or 1-15. And even next year, we're going to have another group of really young players. And I felt like to have somebody that was going to be positive, but not only positive, but consistently positive. And that's what Gus has brought. He's brought some, his high energy, he's very consistent and very positive.
All right, guys, this is Shirley from Section 125. How many people watch Jaguars.com here? Go on the website, yes? Hey, so does Shirley. And she watched Senior Bowl coverage from Mobile and saw Gus talking about three players that played well in Mobile that week during our sit-down interview, and remembered you mentioning Derek Carr having a good week. With that said, of the quarterbacks there for both of you guys, which quarterback stood out in the week in Mobile?
Well, we were fortunate. Derek Carr, I thought, had a good week. He's really a competitive person. It's not just out on the practice field either. We had multiple meetings outside of practice. Sitting in the hotel lobby and just getting a chance to visit one-on-one. And I thought he was an impressive person. Our other two quarterbacks, too, they all have certain traits. Some guys have maybe their athletic ability is a little bit higher, and then you talk to others, and their mindset's a little bit stronger. So that's the challenge that we're trying to find out is who's the guy who's got the athleticism and mindset. But we were fortunate to have three guys that there was a reason why they were at the Senior Bowl.
Dave, you had a chance really to see some of the other team too, the North team's quarterbacks. Kind of comment on the quarterback position in Mobile.
I thought overall it was a good group, and you saw a lot of different genres of quarterback. Derek Carr, maybe more of a drop-back passer. You saw Stephen Morris, who's really a polished kid out of the University of Miami. Logan Thomas, who's a really big, physical, raw talent. David Fowles from San Jose State, who's really accurate, really smart. Jimmy Garoppolo, a small school, 1AA quarterback out of Eastern Illinois, who's extremely productive. You got to see him go compete against the top level competition in the league. And then the Taj Boyd out of Clemson was the sixth. And really athletic, really strong arm. And it was really good to really spend a lot of time with those guys. Like, we can not do anything with those six quarterbacks from now until the draft and figure about if we're going to draft them.
Brian, you got anything? Let's go one more. We're going to go Brave here. And let the last one that I ask his own question. Sir, what's your name? What's your section?
Al from 204.
What's your question?
Dave, a little over a year ago when you were hired, the story goes that Shad Khan asked you who you thought the best player in the draft was, and you said it was Blue Joker. So who's the best player in this year's draft?
I don't know.
You'll have to ask Shad. I already told him. We'll see if he falls at three. I tell you what, this is a really good draft, especially the top 10 picks, top 12 picks. It's one of the better drafts I've seen throughout, from rounds 1 through 6 or 7, and we're really fortunate to have multiple picks in the 4th and 5th round. At the time when we did the Eugene Monroe trade, I remember saying that it's going to sting a little bit at first, but we're going to be really happy come May when we have those extra picks. And I think it's proved to help us out, and like I said, we found Frenchie, Austin Pastore is our right tackle, and then we got those extra picks, so hopefully we get some good starters out of those picks.
We got one last question from Section 410, and it's Byron. And let's just talk a little bit about what you have at number 3, how much value is there, and if it's feasible for you to be able to, if there's not someone that you want there, parlay that into more leverage later in the draft.
Well, there is somebody we want there, I know that. So I can tell you the top three. They're out of the top three players, we'll take one of them. Now, who do you think are the top three players? That's to be determined. The value only comes if there's a demand for a pick. And there may not be a demand for a pick. For instance, it could be a really good offensive tackle here, and there's an offensive tackle sitting there for us, but teams may say, well, we'll just take the third best guy, and he's going to run the greatest. So it might be a really good defensive end or receiver here. And they may say, well, if we don't get hypothetically Sammy Watkins, we'll just get a really good receiver in the second round. Or conversely, it might be a really bad quarterback here, and there might only be one quarterback. And they may say, if we don't get that guy, and then the team may want to trade up. So you won't know until maybe about 3 or 4 days before the draft.
That's all we have.
That's all we have over here on this side, too. Ladies and gentlemen, David Caldwell and Les Brandt.